Yes, Lord, continue to speak to us this morning. Make us fruit trees, fruitful and green in your house. Lord, we want to bear good fruits, and we want to be good fruits for you. Make us first fruits for you. Beloved, come into your garden and eat your pleasant fruits, your precious fruits, pleasant fruits. Amen. The Lord truly is our beloved, and he wants to come into his garden and enjoy something. Imagine the Lord came into his garden and nothing is there. This should not be, cannot be. If the Lord comes, he wants to enjoy his pleasant fruits. This verse shows we are his, Lord is our beloved, we are his garden. And in addition, I would like to read Isaiah 5. Maybe we could read that together in Elberfelder translation. 1 and 2. Isaiah 5, 1 and 2. I read New King James. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. He dug it out and cleared out the stones and planted a choice vine. The choicest vine. Well, it shows the Lord does everything for this garden. He's completely here for his garden. He's not like our boss at work, demanding something from us and doesn't help. He says, in 3 hours, I want to have a result, no matter how you do it. No, the Lord is not like that. He expects fruit from us, but he also gives us everything to bring forth that fruit. He cleared out all the stones and he dug it up and planted it with the choicest vine. And then verse 4, what more could have been done to my vineyard, but I have not done it yet? You really have to testify in the church life. The Lord has done everything for us to bear fruit. So what more could have been done to my vineyard? And I have not done it. Not that the Lord has done everything for his vineyard. Even he himself is the vine tree. That's even better in John 15. If we read these verses again. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 5 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. This shows we shouldn't have too many thoughts about how to bear more fruit. Just our responsibility is abide in the Lord. The whole sap we're taking from the Lord and abide, remain connected to the vine tree. This being connected with him has to do with the life relationship. Enjoy him in our daily living. Maybe we could read in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Verse 3. The Lord is my pastor, my shepherd, sorry. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. Amen. Our green pasture we can enjoy. It's the Lord. And He's leading us there and shepherding and leading us to the still waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. We could say both. Restore or refresh my soul. It's so beautiful that also we can enjoy the Lord as the bread of life. And it was amazing that in John 6, where the Lord introduces Himself as the bread of life, there also the green pasture mentioned, right? John 6, 10 and 11. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. The Lord doesn't hold back. You can take as much as you want. That's really a privilege to us. And we should make use of this privilege that we would experience Him as a bread of life, as a vine tree, as the shepherd, as our full supply. If we have such a life supply, it is not difficult to bear fruit. And in addition, where have we been planted? In the house of the Lord. Not in the desert, where there is no water, but we are in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, there is the rich supply. Let me briefly read Psalm 36, 9 and 10. They will be filled with the riches of your house, and you're feeding them with the stream. They're abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Yeah, they're abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. Anyone who has been in the church life for some time can testify, we are really abundantly nourished with the fullness of His house. And He's really giving us a drink from the river of our pleasures. I think many of us have experienced joy in the house of the Lord. I must testify, over the years, the enjoyment is increasing. The relationship with the Lord is more intimate, and the enjoyment increases. Formerly, we had fellowship about the temple of Ezekiel, and there are many chambers of food, dining halls, and the higher you climb up, the more exclusive the food, more noble the food gets. The inner realm, the inner area of the temple is only accessible to the sons of Zadok. And even in that, there are still three more dining halls, one on top of each other. So our enjoyment within the church life increases and gets higher and higher if we really continue. So there is no reason for us not to bear fruit. Let me come back to this rising up sequence of life. We saw the fruit contains this seed here. As Marcus said, if there is no more seed, it would have been the last tree of its kind. Life always grows and spreads. Even spiritual life grows and spreads. We see not only the fruit is containing the seed, but also the herb and the grass. It contains some sort of seed. Now, where is the text marker? Let me write to that. This seed is mentioned in Luke 8:11. Luke 8:11. Maybe Jonah could read it to us. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Amen. The seed is the word of God. That means no matter whether you're freshly saved or you have the first touch with the Lord, you're the grass in the very beginning, or you may be a fruit tree, having been rooted in the church life for 15 years firmly, you all have seed. We all can spread the seed, speak the word of God. You do not have to wait until you have been growing for 10 years. No, right away, when you touch the Lord the first time, you can pass on this experience right away. Simply speak the word of God. To spread this seed doesn't mean I have to convince others. Gather a good argument. Formerly, I was always introverted, holding back. When I met someone on the street, I didn't know what to say. Oh, if someone asked this question and I cannot answer, well, I need some aces from my arms, my sleeves, to pull out and defeat everybody, beat him down with arguments. But it's not like that. No, sowing the seed is simply everyone can do it. Everyone can speak the word of God. Even Paul, he was so exercised. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3-5. Also, I was with you in fear and trembling, and in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, that your faith should not be based on the wisdom of men, but based on the power of God, literally. It's not our arguments or our way of speaking, our wisdom of speech. But it's rather weakness and fear and much trembling. But he had been speaking the word of God. And the word of God has a special characteristic, which is written in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the rain falls, comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is so good. We simply speak the word of God. And it's good if we simply know by heart a few verses. Even if I have 5 verses, I can sow them like seeds of grain. I filled my pocket with 5 different kinds of seeds. Or better, 10 verses. It's learned by heart. Even better. Everyone can do it. Not that difficult. And trust the word. It has power. Experiences are different. Some like to receive the word, some others don't. But don't be impressed by that. You read another verse from Psalm 126, verse 5. 6. It says, those that sow with tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Sometimes it's related with tears. Our friends and your colleagues, and you preach the gospel to them, and they do not receive it. Not right away with joy. You should not be discouraged. The word really has a strength. The seed does not sometimes grow up right away. But be faithful. Keep on speaking, spreading the word. Dispensing the word. Don't wait with it. I read another verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11:4-6. He who looks to the wind will never sow, but he who looks to the clouds shall never harvest. As you do not know the bones in the womb of the pregnant, you do not know the one who works. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You don't know, you just simply sow. Don't hold it back. Verse 4, I must say, I experienced this recently. He who observes the wind will not sow, will never sow, literally. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. We have a new colleague at work, and I thought maybe it's a good opportunity to talk to him. Soon the good opportunity will come. He was waiting for an opportunity. And the colleague did not survive the testing period of 6 months. He left again, the company. And I thought, wow, not possible. I waited too long. This verse became very new to me. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The Lord showed me, don't wait with sowing. Sow it right away. It's so simple. Oh, man. Lord Jesus, yeah, make us sowers. Amen.